Good morning. This morning's feast is one of those pivot points that looks both ways. It closes a season and opens a season. It brings our celebration of Christmas to a completion. This is the last day for a while. You'll see the white vestments. This afternoon, our poor poinsettias, God bless them, we'll get their well-deserved rest. We spent 4 weeks preparing for Christmas, 3 weeks opening up its meaning, and all of that comes to a conclusion with the feast today. The baptism is a part of the Christmas season. In fact, in the Eastern tradition, it's a part of the Feast of Epiphany itself. It's not celebrated as a separate feast. The coming of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan, and the changing of the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana are seen as a single feast, different in time, but all of thematically the same. They are epiphany. They are revelation. The light shines for the Gentiles. When the Magi come, Jesus is proclaimed as the Son of God at the Jordan. And Jesus does his first work at Cana. And his disciples, John the Evangelist tells us, believed in him. He is manifested. The work that God has been doing in the incarnation is now revealed to the human race. So it's a part of the Christmas season. We go back to that banner that we started building during Advent and the themes that we called off during those Sundays. It's about waiting for God. Listening for God. Praying for God. Trying to get still enough to feel the presence of God. A God who reveals God's self. God's self, not ourselves. Not our conception of God, not our little limited idol God that exists in our heads and in our hearts, but God. What God reveals is God's self. And that revelation is healing for us. It pulls us out of ourselves as we see God pouring God out of God's self in Jesus. As the word is spoken, as the love is poured forth, we are healed by being pulled out of ourselves. We find that really quite amazing. We think that health and wealth and prosperity and all these good things are an accumulation of things to us. Draw everything into me, and when I have enough, I will be fine. When I have enough money, when I have enough health, when I have enough time, when I have enough this, well, I'll be fine. We find that in God, reality is quite the opposite. God becomes who God is by pouring God's self out on us, even to being laid in a smelly feed box, even to be hung up to die on a cross. That is both a healing and an amazing revelation. And hopefully it inspires us. If this is who our God is, then this is who we should be. And sure enough, that brings us to the second part of the Feast of the Baptism. It's not just the concluding feast of the Christmas season. It's the beginning feast of the season of ordinary time, the season of doing the work, the season of carrying on the mission. When Jesus was baptized, his work began. That's why all the disciples report it as their starting point. They'd rather not. They'd rather have some other starting point or still forget the starting point entirely. I mean, it's a bit embarrassing and certainly awkward. It's not terribly awkward for us, but it was awkward for them. They still had live disciples of John the Baptist running around, trying to make converts. And if we admit that our guy was baptized by their guy, well, then, we're just handing them a club to beat us with. Well, if your guy came to our guy, then you surely should be coming to us and not asking us to come to you. So they just as soon forget that. But they can't. It's a fact. It's the memory. The history takes precedence. And from the very beginning, as we heard in that second reading, when Peter is proclaiming, what does he proclaim? Everything that happened from John's baptism up until the day he was taken up. That's the beginning and the end of Jesus' ministry. It begins here. And it begins with this baptism, and it begins with this revelation, this commissioning. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And then, the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. He is anointed with the Spirit, anointed that he might proclaim good news to the poor, anointed that he might proclaim liberty to captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, a year of favor from the Lord. He is anointed to bring the good news. And during this whole ordinary season, we will see that in his word and in his work, in what he says and what he does. Jesus proclaims the good news of God's kingdom. We'll hear it only three verses later. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your hearts and accept the good news. This is what he does. And this is who he is. What he does becomes a permanent part of who he is. And we are baptized into him. Like him, we are to be the outpouring of the Father's love. And like him, we are to announce. We are to announce a year of favor from the Lord. We are to bring glad tidings to the poor. So it's a commissioning for us as well. That we who have been baptized into him may live as the daughters and sons of his God. That we who have been anointed by his Spirit may continue to reach out to the world to reveal and to heal, to inspire and to amaze. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.